And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Me podcast with JB Wisman and Mickey Brennan. An action-packed weekend of club football championship, Davey. And, you know, we had a couple of county teams out on the weekend as well. We'll be going to that in just a couple of moments. But we said last week, we said after the first week of the football championship that, you know, it all went to script and it was a bit boring and whatever. Well, I think the second round of action from the intermediate senior and obviously the third round from the junior A and junior B is after throwing the whole thing wide open in a lot of these divisions.
So it went to script last week. Everything went to script. Pretty much nothing went to script in round two. Absolutely nothing. From the drop of the flag on Friday night with Drumbarra beating Oldcastle right to the post job on Sunday evening with a couple of unbelievable finishes to games. Like, you know, I was at Trim and Sandstown on Saturday. It was one of the best games I've been at in a long, long time. And I didn't think I'd probably top that. But Simonstown's finish on Sunday evening against St. Peter's Dunboyne will just live long in the memory. It was incredible. That's not to mention Corraha's win, Clonard's draw against St. Mary's. You could genuinely pick a couple of games from each of the grades and highlight them in their own right. It was an incredible weekend of club football in Meath.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And as you mentioned, like, it was across all four grades, Junior B right up to the Senior Championship. And of course, we will be doing full reviews of all of those championships over on our Loyal Royals podcast this week. We have a whole host of interviews from all of the championships we have in the Senior. We have Gordy Ward and Podge McKeever from Simonstown. We have Shawnee Fitzgerald and Paul Munley and Kieran Giblin from Trim after their victory as well. We have Summerhill's Conor Gillespie, Barry Dardis, and I think I'm missing somebody there as well, am I, Davey?
Yeah, Podge Geraghty.
Podge Geraghty as well. I didn't have him written down. We have from the intermediate, we're going to have Eamon Moore and Aegon Mallon and Carl Smith. Who?
Damien Moore.
Sorry, I thought you said Jesus, it's only a couple of hours after the Simonstown game, and I'm still having come down from that closing the stages of that game. It was absolutely incredible. Damien Moore, Aegon Mallon, and Carl Smith from O'Mahony's, and then from the Junior A Championship, from St. Vincent's win over Kilmainham to keep their championship still alive. We've Marcus Morrissey Morrison and Gary Chute as well. So a whole host of interviews and reviews coming out this week. Of course, we will also be having the Kiko Sports Team of the Week for round two or round three of the Football Championship when you include the Junior A and Junior B there on round three and round two from the Senior and Intermediate. And we'll be announcing the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week and the Blackwater Inn Top Scorer of the Week. So in all, a real blockbuster week coming your way with podcasts from We Are Meath and our Loyal Royals podcasts. But we'll start with the county teams, Davey, and we'll go straight to the Camogues. Disappointing result, it has to be said, in Clonus on Saturday. While it was a much improved performance in the first half, it still wasn't good enough. And Derry probably learned their lessons from the drawn final in Croke Park and weren't letting me back into it. It finished 117-109. A barnstorming finish from Derry saw them win it by 8 points. It was close for long periods, 9-6 at half time, but Brendan Skeehan's girls just weren't able to get it going in that second half.
Well, they were and they weren't. Like they got it back to a point, having been 5 or 6 down midway through the second half. And an Aoife Mignolet penalty this time, she made absolutely no mistake, slotted it into the bottom corner. That was followed by a couple of scores, and it was back to a 1-point game. But Derry got a pretty fortuitous goal, in the sense that I think the referee made a poor call out the field, and the ball ended up out around the square and into the back of the net. And that really was a damaging score for me. They never really recovered after that. It sort of knocked all their momentum that they'd sort of built up to that stage. And Derry, in fairness to them, you're right, you kind of said it there, that they learned the lesson from last week. They finished much stronger last week. They were sort of hanging on. They were good winners in the end. I don't think Meath could have any real complaints. Derry deserved their victory on this occasion, and disappointment again for the Meath girls. But a terrific effort they put in, not just in the two games, but across the whole year. Like, it's when you look back and at the cold hard facts of it, are you got to two finals, league and championship, you lost both by pretty fine margins. You know what I mean? And to be honest, we could be easily sitting here now and talking about a league and championship double there. That's how fine the margins are when it comes down to this. But very unlucky from Brendan Skeehan's charges, but they've done the county pretty proud in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is one thing that we want to put in record, is that they've been a breath of fresh air. They've been absolutely brilliant. A newly constructed panel as well, with all the big name departees at the start of the year. And they've been just magnificent. And, you know, hopefully the hunger is there, you know, to go on and do one better next year, because they do say that you have to lose one to win one. And this is a very, very young team that he's put together.
Exactly. They'll have learned bucket loads from this year. They really have. There's a few key takeaways. Like, I'm sure there's elements of it. Like the fact that Aoife Mignolet probably needs a little bit more support in tight games like that. You can't overly rely on her either, because that's not fair. But overall, I think this was bonus territory, the way they've got to this stage with such a young team. They'll improve from it. Hopefully they can retain the core nucleus and maybe add one or two players that weren't available this year for differing reasons, and they could be right back, hopefully, in Croke Park next year, contesting the final once again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done to Brendan Skeehan and the girls. Disappointing result in the final, absolutely. But we want to thank them for everything all year. And of course, Kieran Devaney and Orla Brady from the PR committee, who've been brilliant in updating us with everything for the Camogues this year. Let's hope that next year they get a big buy-in once again. Speaking of disappointments, Davey, the Gerry Reilly tournament final was played also on Saturday afternoon over in Millbrook in Oldcastle. And it was the neighbours that came away with the victory. It was Cavan 1-11, Mead 1-8. And, you know, disappointing result as well here. But from all accounts, there was a lot of, shenanigans going on the sideline and everything on the Cavan side of things. I'll find out more information on that during the week from people closer to the action and whatever. But look, you can't take it away from them. They went on and won the game. And again, just a little bit disappointing for this team. There was high hopes that they'd go on and win that tournament, but they've blooded in some amount of players.
Oh, for sure. Across both teams, you know, the Ted Webb as well, which was really successful for me as well. But unbelievable for them. Just a little bit disappointing. And I know they will be pretty downbeat about the final, the way it went and stuff like that. But that's, again, all part of it. We were just talking about the Camogie there and the lessons that they learned. I think for fellas that are 14, 15 years of age, that sort of disappointment is likely to drive them on to achieve better things. And we've seen it in recent times what Gerry Reilly teams for Meath have gone on to achieve at minor level in particular. So let's hope that this can be the same, which are quite right. There was a huge array of players across all the county, which is fantastic to see. But you can't take it away from Cavan at the same time. I think they were justified winners on the day by the sounds of it.
Yeah, we're still waiting on the result from the Ted Webb game from Friday. We know that it went to penalties against Dublin. We do think that they won the penalties. We're just waiting on some information from that. Will I give out the Mead panel, Davey, or do you want to talk about that Gerry Reilly final first?
Yeah, I can give a little bit of background, and then maybe if you want to run into the panel, Mickey. Yeah. So thanks to Oldcastle, who've been terrific supporters and advocates of the Gerry Riley. To be fair, they've promoted it brilliantly, as they always do. But they summarised it in a few paragraphs by saying, Cavan deserved Gerry Riley Cup winners for 2023. Meath looked the stronger in the opening 10 minutes of the final, played in Millbrook on Saturday evening. Cavan were playing with a strong wind in their backs, and Senan Mackin pointed for the opening score. Meade's Cormac Nugent converted a free to level matters, followed up by a Pat Crawley goal in the 11th minute. Of course, Pat Crawley was involved with the minor team as well this year, so one of the senior players, if you like. It looked good for Meade, leading by 1-2 to a point at this stage, but it was all Cavan from then on until Meade pointed a free just before the break. Cavan's Adio Metlovis pointed from a 45, followed up by a good Joshua Shue pointed free. Cavan grew in confidence as the match progressed and added 5 points from play. They had many wides and a goal attempt cleared by the Meath defence, and they could have been much further ahead at the break. It was 8 points to Cavan, 1-3 to Meath at half-time. The wind seemed to die down quite a bit after the restart. Kieran Sheridan reduced the gap with a point for Meath. It was nip and tuck between the sides until Andrew Hill goal for Cavan to lead 1-9 to 1-5 in the 43rd minute. Jake Madden and Killian Rafferty pointed to leave 2 between the sides, but Cavan responded with a Ryan Nawanri point. Sorry, some of these names are killing me, Mickey. Are they from Shercock or where are they from? Cavan were a bigger and more imposing outfit and much stronger on the ball. I love the way you didn't take this on purpose. You left this to me. Well, joke's on you, because in a couple of years you're going to have to be calling these out for We Are Cavan.
I'll be tuned in.
Anyway, Cavan were more in control and were full of confidence in the outcome. Meath had a lot of turnovers that did not help their cause. They never give up, though, but were not able to penetrate the Cavan defence as time was running out. A huge crowd attended the game, and Oldcastle GFC would like to thank everybody for attending. Thanks to John Cavanagh, chairperson from the Meath County Board, for bringing along the Tailteann Cup, and the Oldcastle and Castlerahan under-9 players for putting on a great half-time display. Finally, the Riley family were in attendance to present the cup in memory of Gerry Riley, who tragically died in 1989. They're delighted to have Gerry's mother, Clara, at the match, which she really enjoyed. Martin and Andre Riley presented the cup to the winning captain, Senan Mackin, a Castlerahan man, to great applause from all the Cavan supporters.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. And also, Oldcastle would like to thank, as always, Leo Halpin and Eddie Riley for organising the tournament and the many hours they put in every year to organise that. So well done. And of course, we want to give out the Meath panel that were there on the day. We don't have the extended panel from Meath with the Ted Webb names, but hopefully we'll get them at some stage and be able to give you an update. We might even get it during this podcast. If we do, Davey will give me the nod. But the Meath team that took the field and the subs that were available on the day were Jamie Norris from Centralstown, Robert Hayes from Rathoath, Connor Black from St. Pat's, Killian Yore from St. Dalton's, Oran Meade from Simonstown, Thomas Sheridan from Oldcastle, Charles McCarthy from Centralstown, Killian Rafferty from Sidon, Daniel Doherty from Dunnermore Ashburn, Ryan Brady from Waterstown, Cormac Nugent from Navan O'Mahony's, Kieran Sheridan from Dundry, Evan Kelly from Dunmore Ashburn, Senan Duffy from Slane, and Pat Crawley from Oldcastle. The subs used on the day were Mackenzie Doyle from Simonstown, Conal Diggins from Beliver, Jake Madden from Drumbarra, Jack Doyle from Dunboyne, and Rory McGrath from Rathoath. The extended panel of subs that were there on the day were James Donnelly from Bective, Ryan McCaffrey from Beliver, Daniel Pierce from Dundry, Evan Demange from Drumbarra Emmets, and Cormac Smith from Clonmacgale, and finally Owen Feldman from Rathoath. And a wonderful spread of players from all around the county there, Davey, from every corner and every nook and cranny across Meath. So again, brilliant work being done by the development squads in there.
Yeah, for sure. That's what we want to see. You know, we want to see all the clubs represented and everybody, you know, coming through and supporting the county teams in the years to come. They've got a clear blueprint or style of play which they're getting implemented at all levels, which is good to see as well. And I know that's probably where it starts, under 14 development, or certainly under 16 Gerry Riley. So we're going to see and hear plenty more of these names and these clubs represented, which is great to see, and they all have very bright futures ahead of them.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, so Davey, with the football championship completed over the weekend, as in round two or round three, whatever way you want to look at it, of course, that means now that the hurling championship takes centre stage next weekend, and we have a whole host of fixtures to run through now in the Meath hurling championships.
Yeah, we'll start with the junior, the K Windows and Doors Junior Hurling 2 Group B. There's one game down for decision on Tuesday night actually coming, and it takes place in Bacontown between Nafina and Rathmullyan Throws In at 7:30. Also on Tuesday in Group A, the Junior 2, it's in Dundry, and it's Dundry pitting themselves against Navan O'Mahony. He's also at 7:30. Into the Junior Hurling Championship Group A, Father Plunkett Memorial Park Round 2 action on Tuesday sees Kildalki taking on Drumree at 7:30. Also on Tuesday at 7:30, it's Kiltale versus Killine in Kiltale. Then looking ahead to Sunday, there's three games down for decision. The first of them also in Father Plunkett Memorial Park. It's a round four game this time between Kildalki and Kiltale. It throws in at 11 o'clock in the morning. In Drumree then, at round four, a clash between Drumree and St. Pat's, 11:30 for that one. And at 12 o'clock in round four, it's Rathoath hosting Killine. Moving on to the Intermediate Hurling Championship, it's the JM Food Services Intermediate Hurling Championship Group B. Thursday evening, the venue is Dundry, and it sees Kilmessan taking on the Wolf Tones at 7:30. Also on Thursday in Athboy, it's Trim versus Kilscare Moyle at 7:30. And finally on Sunday in Batterstown, round four action between Dunamore Ashburn and St. Peter's Dunboyne in 6:30 for that one. Into Group A, the Intermediate Hurling Championship, Father Plunkett Memorial Park. It's a busy venue next week for all the hurling. On Friday night this time, it's Gael Columkill playing Boards Mill, 7:30 throw-in for that one. On Saturday, one game down for decision in Rathmullyan. It's Kildalki versus Drumree, 6 o'clock. And finally on Sunday, in Athboy, it's Rathmullyan taking on Navan O'Mahony's at 2 p.m. Finally, into the Ted Murtagh Clothing and Footwear Senior Hurling Championship Group B. Two games on Saturday, one on Sunday. Starting on Saturday in Father Plunkett Memorial Park. It's the place to be this week, Mickey. It's Longwood taking on Dundry. It's a 6 o'clock throw-in for that one. In Boards Mill, it's Blackhall Gales playing Clannagale at 6:30 on Saturday. And there's one game on Sunday in Kiltale. St. Peter's Dunboyne playing Kilmessan, 1 o'clock throw-in for that one. Then into Group A, finally, on Saturday in Trim. Big game between Kiltale and Killine, 6:30 for that. Sunday, there's a doubleheader in Park Tolton. Should be tasty. Rathoath playing Nafina, 1:30 start for that one. And also in Park Tolton, it's the big one. It's Trim versus Kildalki. That will be one not to be missed at 3:15.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And best luck to all the lads taking the field this year. A good few of the lads from last weekend or this weekend just gone that were playing in the football championship will be taking the field for many of these teams. And I suppose that's a nice link into the results from the weekend, Davey. What we'll do is we're going to be doing our Loyal Royals podcasts or reviews on these. We'll run down through the results and how some of the tables are looking, because it's absolutely chaotic after the results from the weekend. So we'll look at your own Junior B Championship, and we'll go to Group B. First of all, the two results from the weekend. Slane won 12, Canaross 8 points. Canaross in a lot of trouble. They do have two games left, but I doubt they'll be able to salvage anything. Now, look, Slane, Ford's Mill and Mynalty could all drop points, but, you know, it's out of their hands now, Davey, isn't it, that Canaross can get back into it?
I think they're gone, to be honest. Even if they did pick up 4 points, hypothetically, I think the teams above them are likely to probably pick up points against each other. So I think their championship is over. They lost to Ford's Mill. They've now lost to Slane. That's it for me.
Yeah. I think so. The other result from that one was Mynalty 10-25, St. Paul's 2 points. And, you know, the Whitman boys of that group is, we've spoken about it at great length, about how unfair it is on St. Paul's. But Mynalty had a job to do, Davey. And once again, like Slane did already, and like Ford's Mill did already, they went out and did the job comprehensively.
Yeah, the issue is score difference could come into it. So everybody is not laying up against the likes of St. Paul's. In a normal circumstance, you'd be putting out your second team almost and giving lads game time and making it a little bit more competitive. With the nature of it, you can't really do that, which is not good news for St. Paul's.
Absolutely. Well, in your own group, Group A of the Coolerite Refrigeration Junior B Championship, Drumcondrath got the better of Eastern Gales, 3-17 to Eastern Gales, 6 points. St. Mary's and Clonard had a draw, 2-15 to St. Mary's. Clonard, 4-9. And then finally, yourselves and Kilmaine and Mudd fought it out on Sunday. And it was Kilmaine and Mudd who came away with the victory, 3-8. To Cortown's 1-10. A little bit of a dent in the Cortown's hopes, let's just say, but it's still all in your own hands, Davey.
It is, yeah. That's a tough one to take now. We were 2 points up going into injury time and let in a shite goal, and they got a breakaway goal after that. So from being in a position we were 2 points up, we ended up losing by 4, but there was nothing in it. It was a really good competitive game, and Kilmaine and Woods just about nicked it in the end. So good luck to them. They'll likely top the group now.
Yeah, and when we were speaking about, when we were doing our predictions on these games last week, I said there's definitely going to be a draw in your group. I don't know whether to go for St. Mary's Clonard or Kilmaine and Cortown. When I picked the wrong one, I went for a draw in your one, and I went for a win for St. Mary's. So egg on my face on that one. I could have had the result, but anyways, as you said, you know, it's not all over for Cortown. For Cortown, Kilmaine and Mudd have gone to the top of the table. They're on 6 points. Cortown and Drumcondrath are on 4. And incidentally, in Group B of that, Slane, Ford's Mill and Mynalty all sit on 4 points. Slane haven't played 3. Ford's Mill and Mynalty haven't only played 2. So still a lot of football to be played in there. In the Ballyrees Bar, Restaurant and Guest Accommodation Junior Football Championship, we go to Group B and the results from that one. Kilbride won 12, St. Dalton's won 11. A 1 point win for Kilbride gets them back on track in that Junior A Championship Group B. And Clonmacnoise really put down a statement marker here, Davey. 4-14 to Siddons, 1-8. And by the looks of things, Clonmacnoise have the bit between their teeth. They're 6 points from a maximum 3 games played. And the closest to them is 2 points. Now, in fairness, Kilbride, Dunsany and Siddons have only played 2 games. But none of them can catch them at the moment.
No, and there's going to be massive ramifications the next day because Clonmacnoise played Dunsany. Dunsany coming off the back of a defeat the last day against Siddon. They need a victory badly. And obviously Kilbride picking up a huge victory against Dalton's Friday night puts them back into contention as well. So it's all to play for in this.
Yes, and Dalton's aren't even out. Probably are out, actually. Sorry, they've only got 1 game to play in that group, and they've 0 from 3 games. So St. Dalton's could be looking at a relegation battle after that result. Moving on to the Junior A Group A and the results from that one. St. Vincent's 2-15, Kilmaine 1-9. St. Bridget's 2-13, Moyla 1-9. Now, the St. Bridget's Moyla one, it was nip and tuck right up until the final quarter, Davey, and St. Bridget's pulled away. In the St. Vincent's Kilmaine one, St. Vincent's just ran away with this one. I think they led from pillar to post.
Yeah, you were pretty impressed with Vincent's from Charlton. Yeah, just on the Bridget's Moyla one, Moyla had a man sent off with about 5 minutes to go, and there was only 3 points in it. I think there was 10 minutes of injury time played, and they put a little bit more gloss in the scoreline. But there was very little in that game for the most part, and Bridget's just about pulling clear and putting that mile of hoodoo behind them for now.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will be going to that Vincent's and Kilmainham game. As we said, we do have interviews from that. I was very impressed with St. Vincent's. It was the St. Vincent's we know and love from maybe 2 or 3 years ago, where they, you know, the intensity, they played on the line and the whole lot. But they put up a massive score as well. So that's something that they've worked on as well, Davey.
Yeah, no one love, really.
Well, I like the way they play. They're a really exciting team to watch. Funny as well, though. We come back to that in our Loyal Royals podcast. Then we're going to move up now to the Intermediate Football Championship and the results from it from Group D. We're going to look through it. St. Pat's 1-11, Meath Hill 1-8. St. Pat's just have the hoodoo over Meath Hill, and that's just it. And then it was Bechtov 2-14, Dundurry 1-7, double scores in the local derby between Bechtov and Dundurry. And, you know, Dundurry just going from bad to worse, Davey. Meath Hill and Bechtov now on 2 points, St. Pat's on 4, guaranteed to go through to the knockout stages. And it's basically a shootout between Bechtov and Meath Hill in the last day.
That'll be a cracker. That'll be an absolute cracker on the last day. Bechtov have got a bit of form up. They were lucky against Pats as well. They're coming good at the right time. Meath Hill have work to do. Who'd have thought we'd be saying that before the weekend?
Yeah, 100%. Group C, the results from it. Walterstown 1-13, Bolivar 1-11, Nobber 2-11, Longwood 1-13. Again, we did say that Walterstown and Bolivar was going to be a really hard game to call. It ebbed and flowed. You know, Waterson were in the lead, Bolivar were in the lead, and then Waterson took the lead again and saw it out. Nobber getting the win over Longwood by a solitary point, 2-11 to 1-13, putting them back in the mix and putting Longwood out of the championship.
Unreal. Like, we talk about Nobber every year, and we kind of nearly write their obituary every year as well. You have to hand it to them. I know Longwood, Ryan Moore, I don't know what happened. There was an incident with a car or something, and he didn't get over till half time in the game. And Sean Clough was missing as well through injury. I think he might have pulled up in the warm up or something like that. It was just one of those luckless nights for Longwood. We were actually training. That game was in Sean Newman. One of our lads got the first half of this game. He was tempted to stay. He said it was that good of a game at half time. Proper championship game. Hats off to Aberdeen. Big, big victory for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you come down to that last game against Bolivar. Incredible stuff, and Waterstown through after their victory as well. From Group B to League Ballyston 12, Blackhall Gaels 1-6. Your banker of the weekend, it came through, Davey, but it wasn't easy for the League Ballyston. And the other one, like, St. Michael's are out of the Intermediate Championship. Castletown 1-13, St. Michael's 10 points, a 6-point victory for Castletown. And, you know, who'd have thunk it before the weekend that this was the way it was going to be? Castletown and League Ballyston fighting out for top spot on the last day. And St. Michael's have just fallen apart.
They've fallen apart. Look, league form can play a part for some teams, but others, like, here we are saying how good Michael's were in Division 1B. Castletown can get promoted out of their division, and now look, you know, it counts for nothing if you don't carry it on into championship. And Castletown were great value for the victory by all means as well. And we know the turnover of players that they've had this year. I didn't expect it, I'll be honest with you. But I have to tip my cap to them, because you have to remember their year went into this year. Their last year's year went into this year. And it wasn't a good league. Aidan Young has gone on record as saying that on our preview podcast. It's been a disaster for them. You'd have to be thrilled for them. But for Michael's, like, last year they were unlucky. To be fair, won their first two games, didn't go through. This year, you know, defeat in their first two, staring into a relegation battle, it's not good.
And the fact that they put up such a good performance against the League Ballyston last week and only lost by a couple of points, you were thinking that form will follow through in against Castletown, who are only newly promoted. But Castletown are through to the knockout stages and will be intermediate once again next year. And I wouldn't like to be coming up against them. That's all I'll say.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
In Group A, the results, again, look at this. Drumbarra, 111. Oldcastle, 12 points. No, Navan O'Matley's 2-8, right? Kenny, 13 points. We now have a situation where Oldcastle are on a solitary point. Drumbarra and Rakeni are on 2. And Navan O'Matley's are on 3 points. Navan O'Matley's play Drumbarra the last day. Rakeni play Oldcastle. And nobody is guaranteed to get through to the knockout stages here in this group.
So Navan O'Matley's are currently top, but they could easily finish
third.
Not bottom, but third, yeah. And like Drumbarra, we have to hold our hands 100. Up here and say,
yeah,
this was the group that there was three in it, two from three. That was it. Drumbarra were going to finish bottom. That wasn't just us. Everybody thought that. Now they're in a situation whereby they can beat Navan O'Matney's and not only progress through themselves, but knock Navan O'Matney's out of the championship. This is unbelievable. And this is all stemming from their incredible victory over Oldcastle on Friday night. Nothing fluky about it. Thoroughly deserved it by the sounds of it. And what a performance from Davy Cahill's Chargers. It's hard to believe. Considering that they were beaten by, 20 points in round one against Rakeni. What a turnaround. And there's Rakeni. Now they're scratching around. They've got Oldcastle, who'll be, surely you'll be getting a reaction from Oldcastle against Rakeni. That's pretty much a winner takes all as well. It's that group, just whatever you're doing on the last day, that's the group to be at.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is that it literally is winner takes all. If there barren draws in this, the two winners definitely guarantee themselves a knockout spot. So it's just class. It's going to be brilliant final round of fixtures in Group A of the intermediate. Moving up to the senior then, and we'll start in Group D and the results from it. Summerhill 213, Wolf Tones 11 points. Sarah O'Finnigan's sending off probably the big Achilles heel for Wolf Tones in this one. It was an early sending off as well. And then the final, another, not a surprising result, but what it has done, it's put Gaelcullen Kill out of the championship. Ballinabrack 213, Gaelcullen Kill 14 points. Now, Gaelcullen Kill rallied, but weren't able to get back into this game. And, you know, effectively, they're going into a relegation battle, David.
They are, Mickey, and they're going to play Summerhill last.
Yeah.
Summerhill need something, I think, to be guaranteed to...
They're guaranteed.
Yeah, after that. So possibly the only thing for Gaelcullen Kill is to try and get off the bottom maybe, but even at that, it doesn't look likely. Big problems out there. Obviously, Bino Hanlon missed out through injury. Yeah, it's going to be tough for them. They're going to be embroiled.
They can't get off the bottom, Dave, because Ballinabracky and Wolf Tones have beaten them. So they're going to be bottom of the table on head-to-head. No matter what happens, it's unless Wolf Tones and Ballinabracky, well, no, even if they draw, it's still the same. Yeah, so it's just a year to forget for Gail Colin Kill and all the players that they lost throughout the year, Davey. You know, it all has come back to haunt them.
It has, but you just have to keep going, you know. Unfortunately, yeah, the way it is in this championship, you're out of the championship in one sense, but you have to try and stay in it. And yeah, that's the task that's facing them now, and I'm sure they'll go at it. And I think they'll probably just about be okay, but yeah, it won't be easy.
Yeah, and the from Group C, the results, Minalvi 10 points and Colum Kill 10 points. Just another crazy, crazy result. You know, see, Colum Kills, they're just one of those teams, you just never know what you're going to get from them. And Minalvi pulling a result out like they always do to get the draw here and to keep their championship alive as well. Rathod 7-14, Screen 1-9. And what that means now is that Rathod will go through. We know that in either first or second place. They will be playing St. Colum Kills on the last day, and Minalvi have to play Screen. And if Minalvi were to get the win against Screen and Rathod were to get the win against St. Colum Kills, that would more than likely put Minalvi through to the knockout stages, and St. Colum Kills, your 33-1 team, would be gone.
Yeah, well, there's a big score difference change there as well. I think Minalvi would need Rathod to do a job on Colum Kills, and Minalvi would need to probably beat Screen by a few points as well, because at the minute there's a 12-point swing.
It's not a massive swing, like.
No, but it's probably enough, I think. And then the flip side of this is Colum Kills beat Rathod; they finished top of the group. And yeah, I know that sounds preposterous now, Mickey, but this would be just true to form if St. Colum Kills
yeah,
and beat Rathod last day on top of the group. I'm telling you, they're just one of those clubs, but I still fancy they'll go through whether they win or lose in the final round.
Okay. Well, we'll watch that one tentatively, so we will in the final round. And Minalvi have that plaster on the dressing room and the wall already. There was a lot of what we said last week on the podcast plastered all around the walls of clubhouses around the county. So there was. Moving on to Group B and the results from it. Trim 2-13, Centralstown 2-10. A cracker of a game. You were at this one, Davey. And also, Group B was the place to be this week, actually. So it was on Sunday. Simonstown 1-10, St. Peter's Dunboyne 11 points. And I believe that there is a whole host of Garda cars and Garda vans out in Waterstown, because apparently a massive robbery took place there on Sunday evening.
Yeah, Pudge McKeever's currently in Navan Garda Station being questioned under section whatever by Joe Lyons. Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, this group was just bedlam. And yeah, we obviously, look, we've talked about Simonstown. Trim, I mean, decimated is the word I used in the build-up to the game, Mickey. And decimated they were. I don't care what anybody says. They were missing five or six starters from round one. They were 7 points down at halftime. Carl Finnegan missed a penalty. Sejour should have been 10 or 12 points up at halftime. And Trim turned in the most incredible second-half performance. Aaron Lynch, James Toher, outstanding. Sejour folded altogether. Puts them out of the championship into relegation. Makes it Trim and Dunboyne. Like, who would have said this, right? At halftime in the game yesterday and at 62 minutes of the game tonight, that Trim and Dunboyne would be a winner-takes-all clash to progress through with Simonstown. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And the championship really has heated up already, and we're not even into round three of it. Moving up to the fixture or the results from Group A then, and we look at those. Dunchocklan 2-10, Nafina 12 points, 12 scores apiece, but the two goals for Dunchocklan being the difference. Curragha, 4-4. Dunamore Ashburn, 1-12. Dunamore Ashburn have played two games in this championship and sit at the bottom of the table on 0 points and are still in the championship, Davey.
I make Dunamore Ashburn, I won't say favourites to go through, right? But I think they have a right good chance of going through, despite the fact they are rooted at the bottom at no points. Because you would fancy Dunchocklan might beat Curragha. They need to get something from it to top the group. That would put Curragha out. And Dunamore Ashburn and Nafina would essentially turn into a winner-takes-all clash to progress through alongside Dunchocklan. So Dunamore Ashburn could potentially go through with minus score difference and 2 points to their name. That would be remarkable.
And how is Tom O'Connor feeling at the moment, do you think?
Content. He's still got his two clubs in the championship.
Yeah, one half of his face is smiling and the other one isn't. But yeah, incredible stuff as well. One thing we know is that Dunshaughlin are going through to the knockout stages of the senior championship because they sit on 4 points and will be playing Dunamore Ashburn in that last game. They're playing. Dunshaughlin are playing Corraha on the last day, and Nafina played Dunamore Ashburn. So, it was just a mental weekend, Davey.
It was, and it's whet the appetite perfectly for what's to come in round three. I can't wait.
Yeah, it really has. But before round three takes place, of course, all these players have one thing on their mind, and that is the Kiko Sports We Are Mead Team of the Week. That will be announced later in the week. And of course, the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week and the Top Scorer of the Week. And there's always the asterisk beside that Top Scorer of the Week. We've spoken about that. People know the story with that. But an exciting week to be picking our Kiko Sports Team of the Week, Davey, and of course, the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week and the Top Scorer of the Week. He does that himself, so we don't really have to pick that one.
You better correct yourself there, or you'll take the head of you for saying that. But did you say he picks that himself?
No, I said the Blackwater Inn Top Scorer of the Week picks himself.
Oh, sorry.
Not George. Oh, George has nothing to do with that. Or the Player of the Week, let's just say. Nothing to
I
do
thought
with...
that's what you said.
No,
I said,
geez,
you better correct yourself quickly. The sponsorship would be pulled from underneath us by the time we wake up tomorrow morning. No, that would be incredibly hard to pick. I'm envious of it already, but that's not tonight's problem. Thankfully.
Yeah, no, that's not tonight's problem, is right. But well done to everybody over the weekend. It was a fabulous weekend, as we said. We've got a whole host of interviews coming your way and reviews of all of the championship, all of the four championships played on the weekend. And of course, we'll have the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week, Blackwater Inn Top Scorer of the Week, and the Kiko Sports Team of the Week to announce later in the week as well. So a lot of people waiting on that one.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, time to move on now and look at some of the lottos from around the county.
Yes, Mickey. The first one up is from my own club in Corton GFC. And our results from Friday night, the 11th of August, 15,500 of a jackpot, not one. 13, 20, 22 and 24, their numbers. No winner. 520 euro winners were Mags Mulrow, Derek Boots Brady, Christopher Bomber Gaynor, Kit Henry, Cathy, Kira and Elaine. The two Ireland and England rugby tickets for next weekend went to Helen Weldon. And we go again with 15,600 euro next Friday night at cortonga.com/lotto. Ballinlock are in next, and their results, which takes place every fortnightly Monday nights. 5,400 euro from last week. KMO and U, the numbers. No jackpot winner. Next draw takes place on the 21st of August. Match 3 winners sharing 100 euro were Bernie Cunning, and Seamus Maxwell. Next draw is in the clubhouse. Navin O'Mahony's from last week. No jackpot winner there. 1, 11, 18 and 26. Their numbers. Match 3 winners were James Gavin by 2, Pat Smith, John Nugent, Bridget Rose Lynch and Martina Gorman. The next draw takes place on the 15th of August and they've got €11,900. Kilmainham from last Monday night, the 7th of August. No winner. Numbers were 2, 4, 8 and 16. No winner of their €8,500 jackpot. 5 lucky dip winners, each receiving €20, were Trevor Lynch, Patrick O'Rourke Jr., Winnie Madden, Fergal Black and Mark Newman. Manalvi from last Monday night, the 7th of August, 3, 4, 13 and 26, the numbers, no winner. €320 winners were Deirdre Chambers, Tracy Brady and Louise Hanley. Next draw takes place on the 14th of August. €4,100 of a jackpot, and you can play it at Manalvi GFC or on the Club Force app. Minolti from the 7th of August, €3,800. Numbers drawn were 11, 13, 27, and 28. No jackpot winner. 2 match 3 winners, each receiving €100 were Tracy Milady and Imelda McHugh. Special online prize of €50 went to Nolene Kangley. And next week's draw takes place on Monday the 14th, and it's worth €4,000. That's it, Mickey.
No bother, Davey. And I'm just trying to get our my ones up. I have no messages in from the lads, so I'll have to go on to Twitter. So St. Jacinth's Lotto last week took place on the Monday the 7th. The numbers drawn were 6, 8, 15, and 21. There was no jackpot winner. The 5 €25 winners were Sonia O'Brien, Patricia Cunningham, Martin Gorman, Linda Conway, and Carl O'Dell. Next week's or this week's lotto taking place on Monday night will be €4,800. I'm just trying to go in and see if we have one from Simonstown. I don't have the results there from Simonstown, but sure, look, we can come back to that at another stage. So what we might do, Davey, is we get on to the likes of Jelly and Damien Farley and tell them that they need to buck up because they never sent in the results this week, and we'll just have to, oh, hang on, there could be one true. Let's have a look. Damien Farley, fair play to him. I sent him a message. He has that true. Kilmainham Woods Lotto last week was not won. The numbers drawn were 3, 5, 16 and 20. The 5 lucky dip winners were Jared Campbell, Bridget Smith, Anne Carlin, Michael Moriarty and Fat Caro Fergal McKenna. That's capital F-A-T. I don't know if that's an abbreviation of something or whatever, but that's who it was that won the €20. This week's lotto will be €2,200. Thanks to Damien for sending that through. Nothing in from Jelly. So what we might do, Davey, is we'll move on to Instagram Interactive.
Yeah, first one is in from Jack Walsh, typically. He said, decent result for Derry in Kazakhstan.
In Kazakhstan, Clonus.
What did you say? Is that
a decent result for Derry in Clonus? Is that what you meant?
No. They were actually in Kazakhstan in the Europa Conference League.
Okay. I thought he was on about the Derry Commodes taking on Mead in Saturday in Kazakhstan, Clonus.
No, good result for them. They were beaten 1-0, so they'll take it back to the Brandywell on Thursday night. Still well in that. Gavin Coyle said Tom O'Connor wearing a Curragh jersey underneath his Ashburn top.
Sure, isn't that always the way? Look, you know, in fairness to Tom, it would have been a difficult day for him. That's all I can say really on it.
A no-win situation.
Win-win situation.
yeah, very much so. Scott Lynch said Drumbarra beating Oldcastle.
Yeah, just, you know, like in fairness to them, we have to hold our hands out and we have to get a smack on the wrist. Nobody could have seen that. We didn't predict it. Nobody predicted it. And, you know, by all accounts, as you said, fully deserving of the victory. And it could be, you know, the stepping stone that they need and the kick in the arse that they need to go on now.
Yeah, very much so. Owen McDonald said how Dunboyne were robbed.
I don't know what he means, robbed. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, as in, were they robbed by the referee or whatever? Look, I know.
No, I don't think he means that. We know okay. What he means.
Right. Yeah. Well, no. I thought. But I took from this.
No.
No. Like, you know, I do think that maybe in the end that a draw would be the fair result. But look, you got to play for the 60 minutes. And Simonstown were always within touching distance of Dunboyne. And if you let a team stay within touching distance, you can be caught with a sucker punch or maybe three sucker punches at the end of the game.
Yeah, even a draw being a fair result, I think you're stretching them, but okay. Robert Perfield said, what a weekend of games.
Ah, incredible. Like, we, you know, like it didn't disappoint from start to finish. It just was shock after shock after shock and, you know, loads of drama and loads of excitement. It was brilliant. The championship really woke up, I think.
It did. It did. Absolutely. Next one in is from Rachel Maria. And she said, Meade's Vivian McCormack winning an All-Ireland medal with Down today. Yeah. Down won the Junior All-Ireland today in Croke Park. And Vivian is a former Clannagail player. She's a Meade woman, proud Meade woman, but obviously playing her trade up and down at the moment and played centre-half forward for Down today. So many congratulations to her.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Fair play.
Evan Drum said Manalvi are staying up.
Manalvi could be going up. You know, they could be going through the knockout stages. It's not guaranteed that they're staying up.
Far from it. But they're giving themselves a chance.
Yeah, they've given themselves a huge chance.
Liam Corbett said Ben Wire would stop cancer. You must have had a fair game against Screen.
Yeah, well, it was a massive win for them against Screen. So, you know, we've been talking about how good of a footballer he is and how good he was the last day he made it into the Kiko Sports Team of the Week from round one.
Deck F. Dunn said, Kills have to push on with all that talent.
We've been saying that for a few years, do you know? We really have. And we're just waiting for them to burst into life. You know, they're one of those enigmas where you just don't know what you're going to get from them. And they could go out the last day and beat Methot, as you said, or they could go out and, you know, fold. They're that type of team. You just don't know what you're going to get with them. They are class, you know, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And I think the last one in fairness, we were late putting up Instagram Interactive. The last one in is from Colin O'Brien. And he said, linking Patreon and Spotify, pretty please. This is something that we raised with the lads as well over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that in fairness, Patreon and Spotify have come together. Like, we can put up our... Oh, no, we can't put our Patreon on. We can put up our SoundCloud ones on Spotify or whatever. But even Paddy Stapleton was saying it's great that if you can put Patreon onto Spotify, that then when you're doing your cooking and stuff around the house, you can turn on the podcast to make it come through your Alexa speaker or whatever, you know, like, so I don't know why that would make a difference, but apparently it would make a huge difference to people's lives.
Interesting. That's it, anyway, Mickey.
Yeah, well, look, we were asked to bring something up on the podcast, Davey, and, you know, we're not going to shy away from it, but we won't really be able to say much about it. But Michael Clark, good friend of mine and a good big listener to the podcast and whatever, he was saying, Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan, lad, looking forward to the podcast this week and Davey's take on Seamus O'Connor's refereeing football matches. I won't say what he said next. I don't want to, you know, get libelous or anything like that. And he doesn't know how the county board continue to allow this happen at any level. But look, Michael, know your frustrations. I get frustrated with referees all the time, but it's not for us to bring up on the podcast, really. It's that's up to the assessors to look at these referees on a weekly basis and decide what is the best course of action. But, you know, it's a thankless job. You know, referees, you couldn't pay me to do it. I tried it once upon a time, and back when I was in my mid-20s, I was playing county football and I tried refereeing and whatever and to help out the club at the time. And the abuse is second to none. Like, I've never experienced the abuse like it. And I really wouldn't go back into the whole refereeing thing, because while I love the game, it's the only part of the game that I would not like to get involved in.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mickey, 100%. Like that, I'm obviously not going to go into it. I was playing the game, so... You know yourself, you don't really dissect too much of what's going on, you know, like you were watching a game. So I wouldn't care to comment. I do have one other thing actually to bring to the podcast, and it was sent in by Laura Burke. last week, and I've just remembered to give this a shout out. She dropped us a message and she said, let's talk about the real football being played in Meath at the moment. Her under 10s Kenstown / Beaupark Community Games team, one of the last four teams heading for the All-Ireland semi-final on August 27th. They would love a shout out. So basically, they're an under 10 squad for the Community Games final. On Saturday, the 29th of July, 15 young boys set off to Pierce Park in County Longford with the target of becoming Community Games champions at under 10 level for Leinster. They had previously lost the Leinster final to four times Leinster champions Malahide in Dublin. With the hashtag KB Unstoppable, this team hailing from the Kenstown Beaupark area fought hard battles against other Meath teams such as Screen and Rathoath before becoming the county representatives in the Leinster finals, having beaten the Longford champions in the quarterfinals. This group of footballers went on to beat the Kildare champions in the semi-finals before seeing off Carlow in a nail-biting Leinster final. Both played on the same day. These wins were not by chance, as the coaches and parents can contest. These wins were the result of many fun training sessions, challenge matches and early nights. This team would make any county Bannister proud of their commitment, dedication and work ethic in every game and training session. The team will travel to Carlow on Sunday, the 27th of August, where they will proudly represent the Leinster province in the Community Games All-Ireland Finals. This promising team is made up of Keane McMenamin, training squad, Evan Harton, James Burke, Matthew Farrell, Senan Byrne, Tomás Melia, Phelim Separacid, Ferdia Barry, Harry Connell, Damien Sheridan, Keelan Rogers, Luke Byrne, Aideen O'Connor, Danny Dixon, Oisin Cowley, and TJ Ruddy.
Ah, brilliant stuff. Absolutely incredible. And they are the grassroots. And if you're not sowing the seeds at that age group, you won't reap the rewards in later years. Well, that really sounds like it could be absolutely brilliant for Centralstown in the coming years. They call themselves Kenstown Beaupark. Would that not just be Centralstown? but of course, look, some of them might be playing for different clubs and whatever in years to come, but the future is bright for the for that bunch of kids. And best of luck in the All-Ireland semi-finals, I take it, if they're representing Leinster, having won out Leinster. That's brilliant stuff, David.
Yeah, unbelievable. Great story. And we'll follow that up after the 27th as well. Hopefully we'll have a positive update to bring to the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great. And sure, look, in a few years' time when they're playing senior football, we'll be interviewing them as well for the podcast as well. So best of luck to that Beaupark, Kenstown underage team that are the under-10s that are going to be representing Leinster in the Community Games Finals. That's class. Anything else for the podcast then, Davey?
Chine, Mickey, I think.
Chine. Well, look, best luck to all the hurlers taking the field this weekend for the club championship. And we'll give you the results on next week's podcast. And we will be previewing, obviously, the football championship round 3 games at that stage as well. Well, look, that's it from this episode of Your We Are Meath podcast. Remember, we are Meath. Why matters more.